Welcome to Listen to Older Voices, a program produced for Uniting Melba and podcast through the Toorak Times. It's always a pleasure to bring you, through their stories, the life and times of older people in our community. All very interesting, all very different, and all very entertaining. This is the third and final program in the story of the life and times of 86-year-old Margaret Healy. Hello, I'm Rob Greaves, and I'm your host for this program. Losing a mother at an early age solidified Margaret's belief in the solidarity of the family. Her father and her husband Mick were both timber workers, and her life as a result has indeed been a very grounded one. Margaret is a straight-talking, no-nonsense woman who has adopted her father's philosophy that when things go wrong in life, just turn them around. She has faced the many trials that life has thrown up with a stoicism that we associate with that true blue Aussie attitude to life. Now, in her twilight years and in retirement, she continues to be as active as she can in her local community, which comes as no surprise as she has always been very community-minded. We pick up with Margaret reflecting on how many key people have been lost to her early in her life. So you lose a mother at a young age, a second mother at a young age, a father and a husband.
All the lot. But I sort of, as I always said, and Dad always said, you sit down and think about it, Margaret, but you might end up crying, you know. But he said, you always get up and go and do something, and it takes your mind off it, and you've got to sort of, the other thing that you've got to think of. And then he said, it's only life. That's all. It's life.
Your dad may have been a bushman, but he was a bit of a philosopher too, wasn't he, in that
way?
He could see these things.
Yeah, he used to drive taxis in Melbourne years ago when he was young, before he got married, and he used to drive all the criminals around. They used to give him extra money and
of
what
course.
Have you, you know.
Of
and
course.
That happened years ago. And then he got onto a farm at Munbulk.
So when Mick died, in some ways it wasn't a surprise because you knew he was really and they kept saying to you he might not survive.
Yeah, well, the doctor told me down there because he'd gone too far. Mm. And I went to the doctor and I said, he said, we are going to operate, he said. And he said, you'll be more satisfied whether we can do anything. Mm. They're more satisfied whether they can do anything or whether they can't. Mm. But they just closed him up again. And he said to me that day in the hallway, he said, Margaret, you'll either make it or break it with a pancreas. And if you make it, you're lucky. But if you break it, you're not lucky.
Yeah.
And that's the way he explained it to me. Mm.
So all of a sudden you've lost your partner.
Yeah.
And you're on your own.
Mm. So I'll tell you this story. I was down in that six-roomed house down there and I was all by myself, sleeping down there and everything. And
not healthy.
It creaks and it's not healthy.
No.
So next day I went down the street to talking to a lady down there and she said, how are you going, Mark? And I said, I don't know, I hate sleeping in this house. It's, you know, it's creaking all the time and I hate it. She said, just go and get a bottle of sherry, she said, and just have half a glass of sherry at night time, you know, when you're on your own and with your tea or whatever. And I said, yeah, I'll try that. So I got this bottle of sherry and I had a couple of glasses the night before. And next morning, Margaret thought, oh, well, I'm not doing much today. I'll have another glass, you know. So anyway, I'm sitting there by myself on the end of the chair at the end of the table. And of course, no mum, she was in the nursing home. And my mum had gone. And anyway, I said to myself, I'm not going to be like my sister-in-law. I'm not going to be like those people at Hayfield, those women at Hayfield. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to sink into an alcoholic because I'm not going to get a job. Mm. So I worked all this out while I was sitting there. I chucked the bottle in the bin and I went up to the hospital up here and there was a manager up there. I walked in there to him. I just said I wanted to see the manager. And he said, yes, come up and start Monday. We're short start. So one door closes, another door opens.
And it's keeping you active, isn't it?
Of course
keeping
it is.
You focused rather than sitting there just
But I had to talk to myself
Again, that sounds like your father coming through.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. He always said, have faith in life and you've got to turn things around, you know.
Yes.
And I tell the people down the coffee shop, you know, if they've got something to tell me. And I say, well, think about it and turn it around and see how it works, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, so anyway, I got a job up there and domestic? Domestic and waitressing and looking after the old people. And my mother, of course, my mother-in-law up there, she used to call out for me, Mrs. Healy, and she'd sing out for me all the time because she knew I was working there. Because one morning I was vacuuming the big room where they were and I knocked her foot and I said, oh, sorry, Mum. Oh, she said, Margaret, you're working there, are you? So I thought to myself, right, there's something I've got to do after when I knock off at 1 o'clock because I used to come back at 5. Mm-hmm. And I went into a room and I said, Mum, I said, now, you know, Mick's gone. I said, Margaret's got to go back to work. And I said, I go home at 1:30 every day or 1 o'clock. And I said, I'll come and say goodbye to you. But I said, I've got to go back to work. And that was, that was the end of
did
that.
Did she understand?
Yes, she did understand, yeah. But there was, and because I used to go up at night time and none of the girls could come in because by this time, I got a house down in Hoddle Street here, number 4, and my son said to me, Mum, when you get Dad's money from the Board of Works and that, he said, build a house in Hoddle Street. And I said, what? You're talking stupid. What am I going to do, you know? I probably would have had to come straight up here, but I had about 6.5 years in between that I wanted to go back to work, you know?
Yes.
So anyway, he said, we'll go down to Canterbury Road and we'll get it in 2 pieces. And they built it in 2 pieces. So I went to the bank and I wanted to get an extra $10,000 and make sure I had enough. And the bank manager said to me, he said, I've heard a lot about this timber industry. So he said, go down to the people down there. He said, just walk in the office to the girl and said, oh, I want to have a look at one of these houses that you're building, that you're building 2 pieces, you know. I'd bought the block in Hoddle Street. And anyway, I wanted to make sure I was going to get this house because I was a bit dicey about it, being on my own, you know. So anyway, she said, yes, she said, go up to number 8. I think they had numbers there to work in, the sheds and that. So go up to number 8. They're building one up there. So I walked in and I said to the chappies, and I was plain dumb, of course. And I said to the chappies, I said, how do you build these houses, you know, and what's in them and all that, you know. I had a plan, but I wanted to ask them. Mm. So they said, yes, he said, the stove was in it and everything. And I said, are you building this for somebody? And he said, yes. He said, it's something in Yarra Junction. And I thought, Margaret, you're on the right track here. So he pulled the stove out and there's Healy right across the back of it. So I came back to the manager and I said, yes, it's right. I wanted to make sure. So he was sure of his money then after that. So that's why I went back to work for 6.5 years to just pay the balance off
course,
the house.
Of course, of course. Was it a nice house to live in?
Oh, lovely house. It's still down there and there's a chiropractor in it now.
Oh, right.
And I went to him about 2 years ago because I had a bit of problems with my knees and what have you and legs and hips because I've had them operated on. And I walked in and I said to him, I said, oh, this is my old house. And I said, it looks different with all the little rooms
course,
in it, you know.
Of course.
And anyway, he wanted to know how much I built for and how long I stayed there.
Yeah.
But I went back to work after in that 6.5 years, I worked up the hospital. I used to do the mail run if John called me. And I went down and looked after a lady at Wurree Alley because her daughter wanted to go away for a holiday. And I looked after her. I used to leave her be in the daytime because her grandson was with her. But as long as I gave her a medicine and give her a meal at night time, and I used to cut a sandwich for her lunch, you know. And anyway, then I'd come up and do the mail run and go back to her at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you know. And, and of course, I suppose in between those things, I used to do the op shop as well as the Meals on Wheels.
Gosh, that was a busy life.
I was a busy life, and I was determined to keep busy because if I hadn't kept busy, I think I would have fallen in a heap, you know.
So did you keep working in places like the op shop and that after you finished paid work? Did you continue doing community stuff?
Yeah. And then at the same time, mainly when I came up here and I sold the house down there, I thought, well, I'm going to have a lot of time on my hands. We had a big senior sits down here at the Shire had down here. And Phyllis Hill, she was the secretary there for quite a while. She was going to go out because she didn't have good health. So the girls from here, there was about four or five girls here, used to go down there for a meal and what have you. And they said, "You're coming down to senior sits today?" And I said, "Oh, yeah, I'll come down and see what you're doing, you know." And I got down there and the two of them sit at our table. And I said, "Oh," I said, "what's going on?" "There's an AGM and you're going to be secretary."
That'll teach them a game for lunch.
I said, "Oh, no."
And it happened, though, didn't it?
It happened. It happened. There 7 years I was there.
Wow.
Listen to older voices. Where stories from the past find a home in the present. I'm Rob Greaves and I'm talking with Margaret Healy. And Margaret is sharing stories of her life after her retirement when she threw herself headlong into community work.
So while I was there, there was different presidents there with me, two Rons actually, and Gordon Jackson. He was an English bloke, and he was a policeman in England. And we used to have the minibuses there, and the two blokes that were driving, they both had heart attacks. They were voluntary, you know, and they both had heart attacks. So Gordon said to me one day, he said, "You've got just an ordinary car licence?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "How about driving the minibuses?" And I said, I couldn't drive a minibus, I don't think. They're only 12-seater, and that does with your car license. And he said, "No worries, hop in." He said, "Take us for a drive." So he took me for a drive, minibus. Came back and he said, "You got your license." He said, "You can drive more the time."
Goodness me.
So after that, I introduced a senior sits once a fortnight, a trip down the line for shop.
Right.
And there's nothing better than sitting in a minibus coming home and hearing a whole lot of old ladies saying what they brought and what they didn't buy. And if somebody brought something the same, they'd be abusing each other. And I used to just sit there and listen because I never had anybody in the front of my minibus. I'd put their pushers in there or their walkers because I didn't want anybody to grab the wheel, you know. And I used to fit about three or four in there. And, we used to hire the bus. And then Yakandandra I used to do trips for too. And I said, how about we go? Because a three-day pokey trip, because the pokies pay most of it, you know, they pay the accommodation, they pay your food and all that. And he said, how about we do some trips? So we had three-day trips, four-day trips, whatever. Mm-hmm. So Superb Tours sent them all to me after that. I used to take the money up and I'd pay Ron Howes and his partner. And I used to take 30 or 40 away with Mackenzie's or Warburton buses.
Goodness me.
Yeah. Warburton's got a bit dearer after that, but I let him choose the buses because he used to always choose Mackenzie's, you know. And, we used to leave here on a Sunday morning and I wouldn't interfere with the club because we had club on a Thursday. Mostly I'd go Sunday morning, Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning. That's 4 days. And you got that for $76 or $75.
Oh, that's a good deal.
Yeah.
That was a good deal.
And that's your accommodation paid for.
Goodness me.
Yeah. Your breakfast with the motel, because the motel, the pokies would supply the motel with the money. And we used to go home and have tea at the motel. And then you could buy your own lunch, that's all. And then me being sort of, I didn't want Trevor Frogley used to drive them from Healesville, and I didn't want Trevor to find out what my people were like, really, because there was one lady used to borrow money off people, so I just used to take her aside and I'd say, you come to the pokies, you bring your own money, you don't,
yes,
you know, you don't borrow it off anybody else, because if you let that story go out, it goes all around the bus, 40-odd people.
Of course.
So we used to have our 3 or 4 days, 5 days. I think I went to Tasmania once or twice. And after the end of the day, the night before when we're ready to come home, I'd ask the motel after we have our meal. I used to have a $2 present for everybody. And they had one raffle ticket. I'd just give them one raffle ticket. And I had boxes of chocolates for the drivers, if there was two drivers or one driver. And we used to have that before I came home the next day.
You're not so active now, are you?
Well, I got to look after my knees.
When did that all start to happen, that you lost that ability to be that active? Was that recent or was that a fair while ago?
No, everybody tells me I still do too much because I'm out every day of the week pretty well.
Oh, you are doing too much.
Suddenly, who was it said to me the other day? Oh, Beryl down here. She wanted me to go down and help her with the aged care papers that she mm-hmm. got through, and I went down and helped her. And anyway, she said, Margaret, I don't know how you do it, she said. And the lady next door says to me, and she's a lot younger than me, and she said, I don't know how you do it. And I said, oh, it's just a routine, you know.
So the knees are the main problem, are they?
Yeah, I had an operation on one, but the other one, the kneecap slips out every now and again.
Oh, goodness.
So I was in the shower there the other week and put it back, and it's just coming good now. It's
oh, been, goodness.
But okay. I just stay home for the whole week, see him.
Yeah.
And just do small things, and it comes good after a while. Mm.
But you are now at a point in your life where inside yourself you probably, like a lot of us do, still feel as young as you used to feel.
Yeah, yeah.
But the body doesn't respond.
No, that's right. And it's when you're tired for 2 or 3 days, you know.
Mm.
And I still go and babysit for my granddaughter. I go down there. She's busy. She's got the salon in the house now.
And where are they located?
Wandon.
Wandon, okay. Yeah, it's not that far.
Yeah,
okay.
No, it's not very far. Well, I go to the club down there, the Senior Sits Club now. That's a beautiful club, that is. And I go down there and have my lunch, and then I go down and look after the two little kids.
How do you get to Wandon? By bus? Or
no.
Do they pick you up? Or?
Car.
Car? You're driving. You're still driving.
My brother's still driving at 91.
Right.
Oh, and he said, they take my licence off me, Buzzy. He said, I'm still going to drive. I said, you're not. Yeah, he lost his wife from multiple sclerosis years ago, and he shifted up to Millgrove. And he come down to me one day, and I'm sitting there having coffee, and I said, how's your little car going? Because he had that little car, you see. Oh, he said, it's too small for me, he said. I said, you're only a small bloke. What are you worrying about, you know? No, I like a four-wheel drive, you know.
Oh, goodness.
So anyway, he turns around and he said, I'm giving you my car. He said, that's a present, he said, for looking after Pam, because I'd go around at 2 o'clock in the morning and then stay with her if he was sick or anything. And he said, that's a present for you. He said, just do the changeover, blah, blah, blah.
Well, that was nice.
Oh, yeah. I got such a shock. I really did. I really did get a shock.
Yes.
He said, I'd rather do that than sell it. You wouldn't get it.
Did you have a car when he gave you that?
Yeah, I had a little red car, and my granddaughter gave me that
right.
just to run around
in. Yeah.
But I've had 3 charades, and I used to have them. I had a new one when I come in here, and I'm used to a little car now. I've downsized since minibuses. So, yeah.
You're now living in what, I guess it's almost like a little community village, isn't it?
Yeah, 17 units here.
Yes.
And they've just sort of been built on sort of every now and again.
They
sort
just
of,
keep adding
know.
It on, yes.
And when you came in on that road there and the Carinya sign was there, there's 3 more blocks there. Or when that house is pulled down, there's going to be more units there for old people. Because my mother-in-law said we don't want riffraff over there.
That's an issue, though, isn't it? Our population is ageing. There's more older people than ever before.
Well, she didn't want anybody over here mm-hmm. that build houses, sell them to anybody, sort of, you know, and you don't know who they are. And
How do you find the ageing process for you? What's the journey been like?
It's been a wonderful journey, a really wonderful journey, because I think I've taken a lot off my dad, more so my dad, than anybody else, you know. I sort of, a few of ideas of Mick, but I think if it doesn't work one way, it works another way, you know. Mm. And I think to myself, well, you've got to still keep going, you know. And now I've got great-grandchildren, and I've still got to keep going for them. And I want to go, because Melissa, my granddaughter, she's been so good to me, you know, and my daughter's good to me. They come down every now and again from Albury. And I just think to myself, well, I've got everybody around me, and why should I be unhappy, you know? And
you're almost like the matriarch of the family now, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
You must be the oldest member, other than your brother, but the oldest female.
Yeah, but he wouldn't remember so much, no. I don't think.
And you've tuned into Listen to Older Voices, promoting positive ageing.
If seen a lot of changes in
a
your
lot
life,
of changes through my life. Yeah, a lot of changes.
If you just sit and think about it now, what would be the changes that have had the most impact that you've looked around, you've gone, gee, that's changed the most?
Yeah.
What would it be?
It's a nice feeling to think that I'm living on my father-in-law's land.
That's true too. Because there's a connection.
He planted all those pine trees along there. Just pull the curtain back. All those pine trees there, he planted the whole lot.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Gee, and they're big.
Aren't they big?
Yes.
And that gum tree, there's a gum tree in the middle there, I think, somewhere. And he bought that home when it was this high.
Just centimetres high, yeah.
And he wanted to plant pine trees all around that house up there too. And Mum said, no, she said, you're not going to, because he said it gets too damp inside, you know.
So one of the biggest changes you've seen then is literally the land around you.
The land around
everything, me. How this township's grown, how things have changed.
That's right. And my kids used to ride motorbikes all around here years ago. And to see those trees out there, and I've always said, you know, well, that's my father-in-law's work.
He planted them when they were there. It's nice. You mentioned you've got grandchildren.
Yeah.
And great-grandchildren.
Great-grandchildren, yeah.
When you look at what's happening in the world today and how it's changed from when you were a girl, do you get concerned for them?
Yes, the world they're moving to? Yes, I am very concerned for them, yeah. I like to sort of look at the parents and sort of look at how they're treating their children and if they don't stand any nonsense, because Melissa and Mark down there, he's a fiery, he is, and she's a hairdresser, because I sort of look at them that they're going to bring their kids up really good, I think, anyway. I think it's the people outside that is sort of brainwashing these kids, oh, you know, do it, Mum and Dad won't worry, you know, and all this. And I don't like parents that don't make their children do as they're told. You can take something off them, you know. I think I know one time when we were out of Hayfield, we first got television, and Kenneth done something. He sort of, I don't know what it was now, I can't remember. And Mick said, oh, you go to bed, straight to bed, now you don't have television. And that kid always watched television after that because he knew he couldn't do it again, you know.
That's probably if we were to gather a large number of people in our age group, and I'm talking about those who are 65 years and older, I would imagine the one thing they would probably say that has changed most is the lack of respect.
Yeah, that's the trouble.
That sounds like what you're talking about.
Yeah, the respect's just gone right out, because I get horrified down the street if the kids speak to their mother or father or something, you know, anyway. And I think they should be, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're in the street or what, but just don't say that again. Mm. And Mark and Melissa turn around and with the little bloke, he's coming up four. And he sort of gets out of hand a little bit, you know, and she says, don't do that. And I said to her the other week, he gets mad on chocolate, and I don't take chocolate to him anymore, I take the white frogs now, because I don't want to see Melissa fighting with him and all that, you know. And he's sort of calmed down a bit. But they say the twos and threes were the horror little buggers.
Yes.
But it's the threes and fours now.
Mm.
And he turns four next year. So once she's got him in everything, you know. She's got him in swimming. He's even swimming. And I said, here's me, nearly 83. I said, and I can't swim. But then again, I saved my daughter out of the Glen Maggie Weir one year.
Right.
She was only about four or five, and Kenneth came in to me. I took him out swimming, and then I saved her from the fire just after that. We had open fires, and saved my daughter from that too as well. Yeah.
Our time is almost up, Margaret.
Yes, I thought that.
There's one final thing I'd like to just ask you.
Yeah.
Now, you're a very vital woman. You really are very alive. And let's assume the body holds up and the bus down the road doesn't hit you accidentally.
That's
You've still got a few more years to go yet.
Yes.
But eventually you have to pass on. We all do.
Yeah, we
living,
all do.
Dying, it's part of being a human.
Yeah.
When that time comes and you do pass on, how would you like your family and your friends to remember you?
Remember me by this story, for a start off. Me of the little things I used to do for them. I know Melissa will remember me by Nanny used to come and babysit them. I used to babysit the kids over the road, and I'm babysitting her children. So I think that in a umbrella sort of type of thing, I think that's the way that...
It's almost like a family thing. You'd like to be remembered as a person who really liked to keep family
that's
together.
Right. Yeah, that's right. I like to keep them together, yeah.
It's been a good life, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been a good life.
Would you change it if you could?
I No, I wouldn't have changed it, actually.
Yeah,
no,
but your family in general is a loving family, isn't it?
And I did write a little piece at the bottom of this when I wrote it out the other night.
Please, go on.
When I was on the mail run, there was a Mr. Conway in Hillview Street that he was sick. He took a heart attack. And he used to ring me up and say, I'll bring up some milk and bread and a prescription, Margaret, will you? And I said, yeah, no worries. And when he came home from the heart attack, he used to have to lay in bed most of the time. He got up for dinner this day. He said to his wife, I'm going to write a piece for the paper for Margaret. And at the same time, Christmas was coming up, so I got the kids a bag of lollies and a balloon and half a dozen lollies in each bag. I went through about 200. Gave them all the same Christmas. And he wrote this piece in the paper, a postie with a gift. That's what he said. And he put it in the paper, and I got the Honours Award for that, for the central writing. He was a lovely guy, because when he wrote that letter, he put it in his suit pocket because he was going to the doctor, and his son took him to the doctor, and he died at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and they took him over to Heritage at Healesville, and the boys over there, his son was with him, Terry, and he said to Terry, do you want this in the paper? He said, yes. He said, I do.
It's nice to know that your community appreciates you. Margaret, it's been wonderful talking to you.
Thank you.
I said to you when we start, before we started, can't get your life in such a short time, but it's been a wonderful life.
Yeah, no, that's mostly it, you know.
Listen to Older Voices is produced by Rob Greaves at the Melbourne Community Support Program. Listen to Older Voices is supported by financial assistance from the Commonwealth Government through the Commonwealth Home Support Program and is podcast to you through the Toorak Times and TAG.